One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. And listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, Dave Callens.
Hello.
And the Earl of Condescension, Mr. Bobby Timothy.
Oh, yes, indeed.
How am I unranked in condescension? Come on.
You're a duke at best.
Close second. A few things you got to do. Number one, on the way over here, I was listening to an old episode of Marin's podcast. And
let me guess. He was complaining about how Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David had it too easy, and he should have had a sitcom in the 90s.
Close.
Yeah, okay.
He had Sinbad on.
Ooh.
The Sinbad. Hey, white people be acting like zombies at the mall. That's Sinbad. Yeah, classic stuff there. I have nothing against Sinbad, but...
Yes, you do. We all do. I have nothing against Sinbad.
I have never found that dude funny.
Nobody has.
No, except when he was a guest star on an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That actually made me respect him a little bit.
Where he didn't have to write his own lines?
Yeah.
90% of Sinbad's bit is the fact that he's named after a pirate. Like, that's it. That's his only thing.
He's named after a pirate?
But white boys be acting like zombies at the mall. Anyway.
He does have us pegged there.
Yeah. He was going on, and this is something that I really gets under my skin when older comics do it, is he was going off about how, you know, young comics today, they don't know what it's like to struggle. Yeah, right. Back in my day, we actually hustled. Not like these new kids today that don't. We didn't have no YouTube. We didn't have no Facebook.
Somebody needs to tell him about hashtag grinding.
Yeah. So his case, and people, I've heard this said before, Mike Epps has said it, a few people I've heard say it, is they don't know what it's like to struggle, but like back in my day, you mean back in the comedy boom?
Yeah.
Well, then?
Look at the product difference. I mean, 50% of people who got famous as comedians in the 80s sucked balls.
Right. And
they were horrid.
And because of the comedy boom, for those of you that don't know, from like 78 to 90, there was just comedy clubs were springing up all over the nation. It was like a big fad. So basically during this, like, I don't know, 12-year stretch, you just had to be kind of decent at comedy, and you'd be a touring headliner making about $1,000 a week. You know, adjust that for inflation.
1980s money. There you go.
Yeah, like that. Like you could make a decent living.
You were making 4 8-balls a week.
Yeah, exactly. and if you were pretty good, you pretty much got on the Tonight Show or a sitcom. And people, old timey guys, like, you don't know, you weren't there. I wasn't in the Civil War either. Yeah. I know what a Napoleon cannon is. Fuck, it's history. It's a fact.
Well, the thing is, the internet has done for comedy what it did for comics.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Forgot about the riot discovering the internet. The internet did for comedy what it did for commerce, what it did for everything else, which is it brought the cream of the crop out. Because if you were good, you got seen. And if you were bad, a bunch of people knew it and then didn't want to see you. Back then, Right. You didn't. You just saw a name. Ooh, comedy. Ooh, I don't know who that guy is. He's either done the Tonight Show or he hasn't. If he did, maybe I was sleeping that night and didn't see it. Might as well go in and see. Now you can look it up and be like, oh, John Mulaney. Okay, yeah, cool. I'm going to go see that. Or, boom, oh, no, this guy sucks. Forget that. So there was no metric for whether or not you were good or not. If you were in a comedy club, people would just go see you. Now you have to be good and trial tested.
And comedy back then wasn't like making it like a rock star or a movie star like it is today. Like being a touring comic is just as hard as getting those other two jobs. Back then, it was like if you were good at comedy and wanted to do it, you did comedy.
Yeah.
It was a job. There was avenues. And by the way, that's where talent scouts and decision makers would go, comedy clubs. There hasn't been a talent scout in a fucking comedy club since 1997.
Yeah.
Bro, you're not going to Matt Taylor shows. That's where all the comedy scouts
are.
I hear there's guys from Conan there.
So let me tell you how much of a fuck that Hollywood does not care about stand-up comics anymore. I'll give you a fucking perfect example. I was playing the Hollywood Improv. I'll never forget this night. And word gets around in the bar area before they remodeled it. Hey, there's a guy here from 20th Century Fox. And it was true. And I poke my head in. I see who the guy is. They point him out to me. He's north of 65 with a stunning 30-something-year-old. You know, and he's having cocktails. I'm like, holy shit. I went up that night, and I don't mind telling you, I fucking murdered. And I felt so good. I went out to the bar.
Aren't you glad he didn't mind telling us that, Dave? Like, what if Ryan just couldn't tell us? He was just too modest, couldn't figure a way to get it out.
I like to imagine this 20th Century Fox guy, he's just out for a night to relax. He's like, why does it always have to be about work?
Yeah.
Pipe down, both of you. Anyways, he took the time to come out from the showroom, comes up to me and goes, hey, just want to say, really enjoyed you. My heart is beating out of its chest, as you might imagine. He just said something like, Brian Sitwell or something, right? I'm like, Ryan Shores. He's like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, really enjoyed it and, like, walked out. He liked me, and he's still like, yeah, still no, though. Yeah, fuck right. you.
I just
They don't care anymore.
Yeah, I was at Red's, you know, the weekly showdown at PBM.
Sure.
A comic there who I've known for a long time who moved to LA a few years ago. I was talking to him a little bit. He made, like, $30,000 with comedy last year, which is, to me and you, that's huge.
Right.
But in the comedy scene, that's like nothing. That's right. Like you're kind of getting your foot in the door.
Sure.
But he was telling me, he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're funny.
Yeah, it doesn't
fucking matter.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Like, he's a great writer.
We've always known that.
And he's like, that doesn't matter. They don't give a shit if you're funny or not. They really don't. It's just, can I market you different ways?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's been the people that have made it out of San Diego, they'll be the first to tell you that. Like, I did a show. I did okay. Then some guy came up and went, I need an Asian. I got a huge market for Asians right now. I tried to sneak a Samoan in there. They knew right away. I need a kind of funny Asian guy. Come on.
I feel like that's also what pimps say. Like, I need an Asian.
An Asian's be acting like zombies at the mall.
I'm tired of scotch taping this Mexican chick's eyes.
Oh, wait, go back to Bobby's point about the internet real quick. No, you're right. It has done a lot for comedy in that, like, the cream of the crop rises. But the downside is literally anybody can be famous now. Like, there are some really shitty comics who have become famous because of gained a following.
Well, no.
But they have to do something to get that following.
But wait. That makes my point because, you know, old-timey guys like Sinbad saying things like, we didn't have no YouTube and no Facebook. We need those tools now because just like the rest of the baby boomers and you did with the economy, you fucked up comedy for us. And now nobody comes to comedy clubs anymore. It just doesn't happen. It's a dying art form like radio. And so we need to go on YouTube and make our own webisodes. I need to go on Facebook and write 4 jokes a day so people will fucking see me because they won't leave their house anymore and go to a comedy club.
Whenever I see
you
a
did
comic,
that, Sinbad.
Whenever I see a comic who's one of their credits is like, I've got over 1 million YouTube views.
Fuck
I always scoff. I'm like, that's such a bullshit credit. But I'm also a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
You know what it is being a comedian in the 80s is like being a doctor in the 1800s.
Yeah.
The standards were much lower and there was much less competition.
And just like them, they're also a barber.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the board.
They cut the hair while they do the thing. Exactly. Like, back in the 1800s, if you were the guy in town who owned Band-Aids, you were the doctor. Congratulations. That's your medical degree.
I've got scissors and a steak knife. I'm a surgeon.
In the 1980s, if you could stand in front of a stage semi-sober and tell one knock-knock joke, you were a fucking comedian.
Yep.
Way to go.
Why not?
Now you have a whole bunch
of... And they gave you a sitcom.
Yeah.
And I had to watch it when I was 5 and go, this sucks.
And now you have a whole bunch of people who actually try, who go and grind it out, who do stuff every night, who do different videos all the time, who are putting out different web marketing things every single day, and they're your fucking competition. You have to compete against much more skilled, much more experienced people.
And white boys be acting like zombies at the mall. So, no, all right. So anyway, back to Sinbad. Here's what he said, because he was talking about how he actually hustled, and one of his strategies to get into the game is he said when a headliner would come to town, he would wait out back for them and come up and just start basically pestering him and telling him, he's a comic, I'm hustling, put me up. He's like, oh, yeah. And because of my enthusiasm, they'd put me up. Can you imagine arriving to a show, not even one here in our hometown, like doing a road gig and going to the venue, and I don't know where Sinbad's from, bumfuck Oklahoma, who gives a shit? All of a sudden, some spaz in a jumpsuit comes running up to you like, hey, new up-and-coming comic right here. Put me on the stage, coach. I'm ready to go in. Some doofus is now harassing you behind the club. Can you imagine being like, sure, kid. I'll trust that you won't go up there and just start yelling hate speech before you drop trow and defecate on the stage? club owner, I found this transient in the alley here, and it seems that we're in luck because he's a comedian. Let's get him paid.
Well, that's actually one of the oldest rules in comedy is you can tell how good a comic is by their enthusiasm. The more enthusiastic they are, the better a comic they are. Yeah, put him on stage. There we go.
Yeah. So anyway, I was listening to this thing where he would harass people. Here's what I want to do now. Bobby, you'd like this little vigilante justice.
Okay.
from now on, when Sinbad comes to town, I want to show up at the Apollo Casino or wherever he's at and just be like, hey, put me on stage. Put me on stage. and not leave him alone. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to start showing up to every gig. I am going to be the Robert De Niro to his Cape Fear. as he's leaving the Apollo Casino, I'm just attached under his fucking car. Every time he's in the green room, I want him to look through the window and see my face with a sign that says, put me up. I want to, because what's fair is fair, right?
Oh, like Sinbad has a car.
For starters, Ryan, I hope you're ready to quit your job, because with his extensive touring schedule, you are going to be a real busy guy.
Hey, if there's funnel cake, you know he's there.
Second of all, do you get the impression that his quote-unquote enthusiasm, when he would just jump dudes in the back of alleys in the 80s who are comedians going on stage, every single comedian who put him on stage was thinking the same thing, which was, oh, this guy must be Holden. Like, he's definitely got coke. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's bring him up.
Ooh, that could be.
Yeah.
That very well
could
be.
Look at his enthusiasm and his weird ski suit. Yeah. Like, he definitely has cocaine.
Look at that. Yeah, absolutely.
Makes sense.
Now, Bobby, speaking of vigilante justice, mm-hmm. I need your help. I need the King of Pranks, buddy.
All right.
I do.
I hope you this involves a 90s TV star.
Hey, when you go to, when you need someone's help, you got to cop to certain, you have to compromise on certain ethics you previously held. Anyway, so Bobby, I was wronged. I was wronged.
Can't let it stand, Shores. You can't let it stand. You let it stand once, the world is going to be walking all over you.
Yeah, yeah. I've been known to exaggerate a time or two while telling a story just to spice it up a little bit. I can assure you...
Wait, does that mean you're not actually going to jump Sinbad in the back of Paula?
No, that I'm going to do.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that whole thing where I'm going to get caught up in my taxes, that was a farce. Every word of this is true, and I have witnesses, because Jared from Gore Horseman was with me, and his buddy was there with him. We were at the observatory in North Park watching Tiger Army and TSOL a little while back, right? So okay. Now I bruise my tailbone. And
unrelated.
Unrelated.
Well, it's related to Jared, if you know what I mean.
Bobby, please. So, we're at the bar in between bands. TSOL had just played. Tiger was going up. I'm not going to candy coat it and say this guy wasn't busy, the bartender. He was busy. It's their busiest time. But me, Jared, and his buddy, we were all up towards near the front of the bar. And this hipster of the year award, 2013 through 2016, this guy, this bartender, flannel blue shirt.
Of course.
Well-kempt big beard.
Yep.
He has got the ball cap that's the brim is flipped up in the front.
Classic.
And there is a man bun sticking out of the hat in the back. I'm like, wow, this guy hit all the points.
You know what I like about the ball cap flipped up? It's like, I'm not going to interrupt your ability to punch me in the face. I want to make sure this hat allows for full face punching access.
Sure. So, anyway, I am a polite patron, all right? Dave knows this. He's served me many times. I'm not like, I understand he's busy, but he is currently chatting up two young Asian girls sitting at the bar right in front of me, who, right. by the way, have their drinks. Now, he is, while making drinks for other people, he is still trying to be funny, failing, by the way. I am a critique of both customer service and humor. He's failing at both. Anyway, not
maybe he was like, yeah, I need an Asian.
Every once in a while, Shores pokes him and gives him a tag. You know, it'd be better.
Hey, you said fuck twice. Just get rid of one of those. It's a bit much. Don't work blue.
Hey, do a little bit more crowd work.
Yeah. He was doing all crowd work. He was chatting up these two Asians. So anyway, I'm not mad at him. I know he's busy. I've worked in busy bars. So I put my hand up with, like, you know, the index finger up. Not saying, like, I'm not yelling at him. Like, hey, buddy, what's the hold up? I just want what is customary in fucking bar service for him to go, be right with you, sir. Right then, he sees me, the hand can go down, and I will wait my turn. I just want to make sure he differentiates me from people that are just kind of standing around the bar. That's all I want. So anyway, I'm not acting aggressive in any way. I'm talking to Jared. I have my little hand up. All of a sudden, he sees my hand, stops what he's doing, and turns around and says this, put your fucking hand down. Not put your hand down. I am not throwing the four-letter words in there for effect. Put your fucking hand down. And I said, I was flabbergasted. Me, Jared, and his buddy, our mouths fell open. And by the way, Please don't do that thing, anyone, where you go, "If oh, hell no, if that was me, I would have done this, 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 and that." Don't you hate that in a yes. story? When you're telling somebody, like, "Oh, some guy cut me off. Oh, hell no, I would have run them off the road. Yeah. I would have broke their window up, pulled them out, and said, don't you ever." Like, no, you fucking wouldn't, Statham. like, people don't realize, first of all, hindsight's 20/20. It's very easy to go, yeah. "Oh, no, I would have done this, this, right. and this." There's shock factor.
One of my biggest problems is that I don't get mad in real time.
Right. I
get
don't.
Mad. Yeah, yeah. I have this delay.
Later on.
I get jealous of people who are like, "I lost my temper. I saw red and I just went crazy." I'm always like, "I wish I could do that." I don't. I look confused for 2.5 seconds and then go home and mull over it for yeah, an hour and a half.
Exactly. And, you know, I have a history of fighting. And, right. But the thing is, if someone told me when I showed up to a bar, "Hey, that guy's got a problem with you because you have a problem with one of his friends. He's planning on punching you tonight." If then later on that guy comes running at me with a fist, I know what's happening.
Right.
But if I'm sitting in a bar and some guy turns to me and goes, "Aren't you Ryan Shores?" And I say, "Yeah," and he clocks me.
Right.
I'm not going to just go right into fight mode. There's going to be about 12 seconds of, "That didn't just happen, did it?"
No, there'll be a couple seconds of like, "Wait, is this the beginning of a bit?"
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like,
is he an opener?
There is like some stuff like that couldn't possibly have just happened.
Yeah,
I must be hallucinating.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt in this moment. We went, "Put your fucking hand down." So my mouth fell open. Jared and I just stared at him wide-eyed, confused, waiting for him to say, "Just kidding."
It would be great if you slowly raised the other hand.
So then he sees our shock and doubles down. He goes, "Yeah, you're not even at the fucking bar, okay? Well, yeah, wait your turn. But by the way," and he does it. He does a little symbol with his hands to show a heart, and real condescendingly goes, "I heart you, though, okay? Heart you, though, heart you." And so Jared says, "Fuck this, let's go to that bartender." And I do, and I'm still shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
I go around, we order our drinks, we get them very fast. The guy sees then that I've switched to the bartender, and from across the bar starts miming the crying noise at me.
Wow.
Now, I've always said that working in a bar is different than any other job. It's not retail. You know, you're not at IKEA, you're not at Trader Joe's. If there's a conflict at a bar, this is true universally. Anyone that's worked in a bar can tell you this. If there's a conflict between a patron and a staff member wins because they always assume you're drunk
right.
or alcohol. So if a waitress you've never even seen before says you grabbed her, guess what? They're taking her word for it.
Yep.
And if a bartender says, "This guy's acting aggressively," you're fucking out of there.
Right.
No matter what you did, there's no manager who goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's a round on the house." No. So I know I can't even complain about this.
Right.
Not yet anyway. So I am not a tell your manager kind of guy.
Right.
But in this one instance, I'm like, dude, this is a little extreme here. Right. Called, no one gave a shit.
Yeah, that's not the type of thing they're just going to hear that and they're going to be like, "Ah, fuck it." Yeah.
He probably cut him off.
Yeah.
Before Bobby gets in and tells you what you should have done, I don't know if this is a bitch move or not, but like, if you're going to call, a call is a little bit less than if you Yelp them. I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, Yelp, fucking whatever." But at least that's there for other people to see.
Yeah.
So the establishment might take that a little bit more seriously.
Okay, so Yelp, we'll go with that one. I'm going to start a Yelp account. I do not have one.
Oh, my God, Dave. You are such an amateur.
Oh, I can't wait. And by the way, don't tell me what I should have done.
No.
Tell me what to do.
Much like the president of Syria, I'm a huge fan of chemical warfare. And I think that...
I think mustard gas is a bit extreme. I mean, he was a dick. I don't want to kill him.
So there's two ways that I would like to go with this one. One is you find a time when he's working like a day shift, one where he's maybe the only bartender, he's the only one in there, because then this is really going to affect him and you don't have to worry about bystanders. And this one is real simple, real easy. You walk up to him, look him straight in the eye and go, "Do you remember me?" Maybe raising your hand as you're doing so.
I brought two Asians to this place right in front of me to refresh your memory.
And here's a great one. You just throw a stink bomb right on him. You burst it on him. Now, if you haven't remembered stink bombs in your head, you might be like, "Wait, stink bombs, they smell kind of bad."
They're also made of glass, you weirdo.
Yeah, that's fine. There's thin glass. It's not going to hurt him.
It's not going to hurt him.
He's fine. If a stink bomb breaks on you, you will vomit. It is horrible beyond your remembering. Like, it is so incredibly bad.
Are you giving advice or rehashing an episode of Little Rascals?
What is this? Where do I get a stink bomb? Tom's Magic Shop?
I've got half a dozen.
What?
I do this all the time, Ryan.
Throw stink bombs at people?
Yes.
Are you the Green Goblin of stench?
I'm the guy who doesn't get bartenders talking shit. Anyway, long story short, yes, you go up, you throw the stink bomb on him. If you get it to break on him, which you can do because it's such a thin glass that you can get it to break on the guy if you throw it right, I can guarantee you about a 50-50 chance he starts vomiting almost immediately. first of all, the bar gets evacuated. He is going to have to go home. He can shower and shower and shower. That will not come out for days.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Flaw in the plan.
What's that?
This is not a bar I plan on never going back to. This is the observatory. All the big shows are now coming through there. I will be 86th.
Good to know. Now we go to plan two.
Ah!
Also,
oh, good. There's a plan B.
There's plan C through F of this time, dude.
Also using a bit of chemical warfare. Now, this is one of my...
Can we get away from the chemical weapons?
No! No! Losers quit, Ryan!
I'm not suggesting we quit. I'm just thinking... All right, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So this is this is one of my favorite ones. Now, is he? Do you happen to know if this is a bar where they do split tips, where or they have a single tip jar per bartender?
I really wouldn't know, and I don't know how I would.
We could find out. Do you have options for both?
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, if this is something where he,
Dave, go get a job there. You're a bartender.
No. Well, so when you're up there,
I need a man inside.
Do they have one tip jar for all the bartenders working, or do the individual bartenders have?
Sometimes
tip
it's hard to tell.
I don't know.
You can't even see the tip.
Just saw beard and smugness is the only thing that I couldn't see past that.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in. We're going to order a drink like regular. And maybe it's not even you. Maybe it's one of us. It doesn't matter because this is the great thing about this is that it's a delayed reaction.
Yeah.
We're going to pay for our thing and then slide our tip over. Now, the crucial part to this is it has to be a single bill tip to make sure that he's grabbing this bill and holding it securely. This bill will be covered in poison oak. Now, he is going to take this bill, put it in the thing, or do whatever. Now, the key to this bit, to make it really good, is almost immediately afterwards, you have to find some excuse, whether it's an accident or something, or it's on purpose, or it's one of the plants inside, to accidentally spray some water or something somewhere near or on his face. So he then rubs his face with his poison oak hand.
So again, it involves me throwing stuff at him.
No, no, no. One of us could be fucking around, like doing anything, get a little bit of water on him. It's fine. Here's the thing about poison oak. It takes between 48 and 72 hours to become active. He doesn't remember what the fuck happened one random time.
Here's the big reveal. He went and spent it, and then I got the bill back as change. And I'm like, God damn it, Bobby, as I scratched my skin off.
The good part about this is right after contact with it, especially with contact with water, which dilutes and makes it move around, if he gets it on his face, he is going to break out. This is especially good because you described him as a man with a big, thick beard. That is essentially a harboring sponge for poison oak. That is going to absorb it and bring it close to his skin, and he's not going to be able to get that out for days. He won't even know it's there because he won't have the reaction for about 24 to 72 hours.
Now, when this show is used as evidence, what do we do then?
Let me real quick, two things about Bobby now.
Yeah.
First, you would be an amazing Scooby-Doo villain.
Like, that's
for
true.
Sure.
No, he's not an old man with a Bobby mask on.
Those meddling kids would not foil your plot.
He's not a ghost pirate or whatever. Second,
I feel like Bobby is like he's in some sort of Amway or Herbalife thing with stink bombs. Like he's just trying.
No, right. I can get you.
I'm the guy. I'm the last guy with them.
Yeah.
I've hoarded them in a bunker somewhere.
He's trying to move product.
He's a salesman for Spencer's Gifts. So here's my plan. Now, first of all, I'm not a classist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you work at McDonald's, God bless you. You're doing the God's work there. But if you work at McDonald's and talk shit to me, the first thing I'm going to say is, fuck you, you're a loser that works at McDonald's, okay? That's just what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Corner an injured beast, he brings up your loser job. So anyway, I was thinking of going in there during a not busy time when he's working and maybe film all this just discreetly with my phone.
Right.
And just be like, so how old are you? How much money do you make at this job at your age? Wow, that's a lot of money for a 21-year-old. How old did you say you were? And just to demean him. I want to be like Hannibal Lecter. I want him to go home feeling like less than a human, like he made me feel like.
I don't think you can do that to a hipster. I really don't.
No, he might take pride in it. All right, let me try a few others on you. Okay.
I want him to emotionally feel bad.
One involves a little bit of a stakeout, but as you guys know, I have a surveillance van, so we can do that, not a problem.
Isn't Jill making you sell that?
Unfortunately, yes.
All right, so we got to act quick.
Apparently, adults with children are not supposed to have surveillance vans.
Says who?
He's going to keep it, but secretly. He'll have it stashed somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I got rid of that. By the way, the new flower van just arrived across the street.
I swear, that's actually a surveillance van. The FBI's watching me. I'm selling drugs. We find out what vehicle he drives. Then the doors are open. I mean, the world is your oyster once you figure out what vehicle he's in. And the beautiful part is it's San Diego, which means almost everybody is driving.
Yes.
Now, there's so many things you can do with the car, from the simple poison oak under the dog under the handle to the dog poop wedged underneath the handle. So as you go to open the, your front driver's
here's
door,
here's what I want. I want poison poop. Oak under his and the dog poop on the other because he won't discover it right away. It'll be not till he's on a date that she gets in, because he's not the kind of guy that would open her door for her. No, he's not. And so and then the date gets the dog poop under the fingernail. I like where your head's at. Let's keep going.
I like your, hold on, Ryan. I actually like your plan. I think you have inadvertently discovered something amazing. You put the dog poop under his door, the poison oak under the passenger door. He reaches under his door, goes, oh my God, dog poop. Then he starts getting in through the passenger door to avoid the dog poop.
Boom. And that's when he finds the king cobra I've put on the front seat. I'm the king of pranks.
Okay. That's part of the plan. You hack into his computer at home. You rebalance his 401k to put it proportionally into emerging markets. Ruin his retirement.
Oh, no, no, no. I got the plan. I'm going to show up and say no hard feelings and give him tickets to a hipster band that a hipster would like. I'll give him Mumford & Sons tickets with Cage the Elephant opening. He will gladly accept them. And then when he gets to the venue, he realizes that the ink is rubbed off. It's a Sinbad show. And I lock the doors. And he has to listen to Sinbad. And go, white boys be acting like zombies at the mall. No!
Or you could just put U-locks on his rims, those bicycle U-locks. That's one of my favorite ones.
Ooh, especially, that sounds way easier. Why didn't you open with that? Open with that.
It's super easy. And the best part is people will be like, oh my God, what do, okay, I guess I'll just take this off and get bolt cutters. No, 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 no. You need a plasma torch to get a U-lock off. So once you U-lock two tires or two wheels on his car, even if he has a spare, he's fucked. There's nothing he can do.
Okay, let's do that.
I want to get into this, though. Like, what if he doesn't have a car? Because I know you have some shit for this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends. So what's his routine? What's going on? We would have to observe. We'd have to
find his
weaknesses.
He's a hipster. I'm going to guess he bicycles.
Could be a bicycle, but there's a U-lock solution right there, too. You can U-lock his bicycle to something. Now his bike is stuck against the bus stop post or something right outside his work. He's got to see it every day, but he can't get it.
I like that.
I kind of like that.
That one I like, yes. That's the seeing it every day. That's the part I really like.
Now, if he takes Uber... I drive for Uber, so we're going to have to set this up in advance, where I'm the closest one when he requests a ride.
All of a sudden, if someone else like accepts the ride, I come out of the back seat and just rear naked choke him to sleep.
All right.
I'm like the crow with fucking Fun Boy. Drive.
All right, so Dave picks him up in the Uber. Dave picks him up. He gets in. Dave pulls to the corner nearest to the bar, and he's like, hey, hold on, wait, this isn't my house.
And that's when he presses play, and Paint It Black by the Stones starts playing just for a little ambiance.
Ryan gets in, raises one hand, looks right at him, and goes, do you remember me? You won't.
So we do a bone collector move
on
him,
huh? Basically.
All right, I can get behind that.
And then Dave just drives him out to Arizona, and we leave him in the desert.
Oh, that's good.
And then I give him one star.
Dave's the king of pranks.
He's the king of Uber reviews.
Now, as long as we have Bobby's wheels turning, Bobby, I want to introduce a new segment to you called Critique My Vigilante Justice.
Ooh, me likey.
Yeah. So you're going to tell me what I could have done better?
You sound like every creep on a girl's Instagram.
Ooh. Hey,
daddy likey.
Love those workout shorts.
Now, this is something I did, already happened, went through the steps. Tell me what I might have done better. Maybe tell me I did something good. A little pat on the back for me.
Right.
You can use a self-esteem boost.
Let's see it.
So I'm driving for Uber. I drop someone off at a hotel. It's like the big semicircle driveway in front.
Yep.
So I just pull off to the side for a second, chill out for a minute. And maybe 20 feet away, I see another Uber driver parked, just sitting there. And I just happen to see him drop his cigarette butt out the window. Now, I see this all the time. Pick your battles. But for whatever reason, that kind of set me off. So my window's open. His is open. I just kind of yelled over, hey, man, you dropped your cigarette.
Apropos nothing, I do that. I'm sorry.
You dick. Stop doing that.
I'm not proud of it, but I don't have an ashtray in my car because I got a new car and they don't have ashtrays in them. And usually I like to have a soda can in the cup holder, which I throw them in. Sometimes I realize after, as I'm having the cigarette, I don't have it. What choice do I have?
You get an aftermarket ashtray that fits in your cup holder. Stop being a dick. Fucking dolphins choke on that shit. Anyway, Dave, keep going.
So now I'm committed.
Dolphins.
Now I'm committed. I said
something.
I'm gonna
hit Ryan with a fucking stink bomb by the end of this show.
I said something. He responded. Now I'm committed.
Sorry, what did he respond?
I say, hey, you dropped your cigarette. He's like, I know. And he looks back down like he's on his phone or something. So I say,
I'm a big fan of this other guy. I gotta tell you.
I'm
on team other guy.
It's not a garbage can, bro. So he's like, well, then you pick it up.
Wow.
Tell me you picked it up.
So now. I wheel my car around to pull up in front of him. I get out of my car. He takes off.
Okay.
Now he's a bitch.
Yes. So I pick up. He leaves. I'm like, you know what? We're on Harbor Drive. There's not many options for him.
Right.
So he's about to drive past the convention center.
It's a major street in San Diego. It's really hard
to
cross.
Huge median. You can only get on the one direction. You can't turn around for a while.
Right.
So I'm like, ooh, I'm going to find him. So I grab the cigarette. I get in my car. I drive down Harbor Drive.
Nice.
Sure enough, he's stopped at the next light.
Yeah. Ooh.
I pull up on his passenger side. I'm in the bike lane, but whatever. I pull up in the passenger. His window's down. Hey, man, I found it for you, and I flick it inside his car.
Beautiful. Oh! Beautiful.
So now I drive.
Round of applause, Bobby.
But I get stopped at the next light about 100 feet away.
Uh-oh.
So he pulls up, comes around me. The light turns green. He gets in front of me, slams on his brakes, blocking a lane of traffic.
Wow.
Now, at this point, I'm like, I'm kind of laughing because of this guy's reaction. I'm like, I'm amused. My work is done.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I'm not stupid enough to get in a confrontation
sure.
in the middle of traffic.
Right.
So you're I go both and get
going
around
to jail.
Him.
Especially because, right, right. by the way, for those of you who are not in San Diego a lot, good luck going 30 seconds on Harbor Drive without a cop coming by.
Oh, yeah, right. absolutely.
Yeah.
So I back up just a little to get some space, and then I go around him. As I'm going around, I'm going to give myself this one. Rookie mistake. My passenger window was down.
Oh, fool.
So I'm already going to say that was a mistake on my part. You're going to handle the rest, though. So as I'm going by, he's yelling at me, throw garbage in my car, motherfucker, and flicks it back at me. And I keep driving. So I'm
this
like, okay.
is a weird, like a comedy from the 90s right now where it just goes back and forth. You trying to give the cigarette back. I love it.
But now I'm driving, and he starts following me. I think he's following me because it's, like we said, there's not many options out of this road. But we pass a few turns he doesn't take. And I'm like, you know what? I had my fun. I'm going to go home. I'm done driving for the day. So I make a couple turns. I notice he's following me on the turns. So I make a few more turns, and it seems like he's following. Not positive, but it seems like it. So the last turn
he's
I make,
definitely following you. Come
I
on
pull
now.
Off on the side of the road. I park my car, and I start to get out of the door, and he just takes off and keeps driving.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, you little bitch.
Okay. So
I feel
you
like
win.
He was following me until I wanted to raise the stakes, and then he took off. Now, at this point, the light changed. I couldn't follow him anymore, so I'm like, I'm not going to get that far
in
this.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, critique.
Fantastic job. I love the initial thing. You've already pointed out some mistakes you made, the lower passenger window.
For next time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's another thing, and this is what I always recommend. If you get into a confrontation like that, you did a very smart thing in not getting on the fight in Harbor Drive. Yeah. But one of the problems, you limited yourself to the physical interaction you were there. First thing I always do in those things is immediately memorize the license
plate. I got that. I did get that.
Did it? Good. So then I can call my buddy in CHP and be like, hey, to figure out this guy's address and whatnot. So that is good because you can always go back and get them later. I actually have a question, though. Are you allowed to smoke in an Uber? Like, I feel like the passengers wouldn't want to be in a...
The only thing there...
The only
be
limit
a factor,
is your imagination, Bobby.
Yeah, the only factor there is, are the customers going to complain about the smell?
Wouldn't they? If you just got into a car that somebody hotboxed, like, wouldn't that be a thing?
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay. I think you did a great job, especially for some of your early nascent vigilanteism. I think this is fantastic. Like I said, getting the license plate, that's a good senior move you did there.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Very
I'm on
good.
The right track. I feel good about this.
Now, all you can do next time is be a little bit more like me in that you need to have things in your car prepared.
Crossbow.
Yeah.
I have a hatchet.
Nunchucks.
No. Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about anything violent.
No, bow staff. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's a few good ones. If you've ever played the game...
You say stink bombs again, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah, you need stink bombs.
By the way...
That's like saying bring your wallet somewhere. Yeah, that's just implied. You always have to bring your wallet.
Wait a minute. So you're saying, like, ooh, don't throw your cigarette. Dolphins choke on up. You're okay with little shards of glass everywhere?
Yeah, dolphins don't get shards of glass. They're fine.
What are you talking about?
Here's a couple of good ones for the car. Listeners should listen up. If you guys can find...
There's a concept.
If you guys can find jacks, you know the old game jacks?
Yeah.
They're like these weird little
pointy. Not the African-American fellow from Mortal Kombat 2?
No, and not the cereal.
Great deep cut. I love that.
If you get these, the old ones were made out of metal, not plastic, and you can sharpen them. Now, what these are is essentially...
Ooh, you're making a caltrop.
Tire spikes.
Yeah.
They're tire spikes. And they are very, very good because if what you do is tie four or five jacks together, you make what I call a jack bolo. And if you get this anywhere near the front of his car, it'll hit one of his tires, wrap up, and pop it. And that is an easy, good one. You can carry it in your car. No cop knows what it is. You can bundle it into something that fits in the palm of your hand, and at any point, throw it out the back of your car. It will pop the tires of the person behind you.
So if I go to your car right now to this episode, you will show me a bolo? You have one?
In my car, yes. In my van, no.
Love it.
You know what?
Unprepared.
I will have some stuff in my van to show you, though.
I'm not falling for that one again. My childhood was ruined by those very words.
He's not ready for another bruised tailbone. I was really hoping you were saying that the other thing to have in your car would be an unregistered firearm.
No, no. No, no violence. This is civilization, no. Abe. We prank.
Is
we
it, Bobby?
Yes.
Is it?
No, right. Violence.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not going to get into all the things you've said today.
Number three. Take an old spark plug. You can go get these at a junkyard or wherever. The spark plugs, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, spark plugs work best. There is a ceramic casing around spark plugs that's used as an insulator. Any kind of insulator ceramic, for whatever reason, whether it's on a spark plug or the type that breaks off sometimes if you're under old power lines, you'll find broken stuff like that down there. Take a piece of that, smash it up with a hammer. The thing about this particular ceramic, insulator ceramic, is it breaks into microscopically sharp pieces.
Put it in a bowl of oatmeal, offer it to him.
No. What's cool is you can flick this. Like, literally, you can take a piece of this, flick it off your thumb into any kind of car window, and if it hits safety glass, it immediately shatters. So you take something the size of a pea, flick it out of your hand, and you, psh, his window is gone.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if we should put that on the air.
No.
That's a great one.
Chaos tomorrow.
Degenerates attack. That's always a good one because you can keep a whole bunch of those just like right in the little like compartment on the side of your door or your car. Again, cops never going to know what the hell that is. You have them at easy, ready.
You know what else you can put in that compartment?
Huh?
A cigarette butt.
That's true.
Ryan Shores.
That's true.
No, I'm imagining though, like it's like having a little bunch of the little cachet of these little beads there,
yeah,
and me suddenly having to stop short and throw them flying through my windshield. Like, God damn it, Bobby!
Yeah, definitely keep them in a Ziploc bag.
Absolutely. Ziploc bag. All right.
And by the way, it is also a safety issue because if you're ever sinking in a car and need to smash your glass, you just do that.
Where are you that that's going to happen to you?
Dude, be prepared. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking sheep.
I have imagined my demise in so many ways that it's nearly impossible.
And I will say this. If you are driving, and I first learned this because this happened to me when I was driving in the Bay Area, and it was fucking terrifying. If you are driving and somebody throws change at your car, just like pennies and quarters and nickels and dimes, it sounds like gunshots. If you're on the freeway and you're driving. And
I've done that.
Yeah. And they hit
I have
your
a
car.
Sunroof. I get them right out the back there.
That is actually high-level stuff. That's PhD-level change pranking, because I'll tell you why. You don't see it.
Change pranking.
If you roll down the window and throw it, you kind of see it. If you do it out of the sunroof, which I have tried before too, that's out of nowhere. It just sounds like somebody shot an AK-47 at your car.
Wow. All right. Well, I've got plenty of those. No cigarette butts, though. They'll go right out the window. No, but the pennies I keep in the ashtray. Oh, shit, there is an ashtray.
I should also get into some pocket sand. That's one of Shores' favorites.
Oh, I love pocket sand.
Yeah, it's a little hard to do at 45 miles an hour, but, you know, if you could do pocket sand. And then there's always, like, the...
No, to catch them in a light.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
If
pocket sand!
If you
do you have any gray poo? Pocket sand!
If you want the really low budget, easy to do from outside the vehicle where you don't have to try and get a paintball grenade through the window or whatever, all you have to do is get your car in front of them and really fuck with them. It's really easy. You go around with a Ziploc bag. You have water in one Ziploc bag. In the other one, it's flour. You tie them together in a way that doesn't give it a lot of structural support. You hurl that at them. The water spreads. The flour spreads. It immediately creates a curtain of opaqueness on their windshield, and they can't see.
Unfortunately, I sprung for the really tough Ziploc bags that don't break.
Yeah, you
so
need...
now he has it. Yeah. He takes it, throws it back at me a little harder.
You do need to get the cheaper stuff. That's a good point.
I want to see just once someone that really upsets Bobby to the fact he like catches them in a light, runs up with tears of rage in his eyes, like, stink bomb, pocket sand, window breaking pee, and then, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Just hits him with everything he has.
And by the way, if you're ever really trying to get somebody back, not that I would encourage this, but if you're ever really trying
kill
to get
them.
Somebody back, the idea of where you see on TV where somebody comes with like a baseball bat and busts out car windows, that's so dumb. That window, you can go get a junkyard for like $40. You can buy new for $90, something like that. If you want to get them, hit each panel of the car. That costs way more damage. With four baseball swings, you can total a car. If you just hit the windows, you're not doing that much damage.
Yeah, okay.
Bobby, you've just been put on several watch lists after this episode.
Mainly mine. You just made my suspicious list.
Anytime anything goes wrong in Minor Shores' life from here on out, we're going to be like, Bobby! How did Bobby do this to me?
Yeah.
Is that a stink bomb? What is this?
We're going to have that usual suspects moment where we recount like a conversation we had a few days before, like, fuck.
There's the shot of the stink bomb slowly shattering against the ground as I realize things.
Every time we see Bobby from now on, we always hug because we're just friends like that. I'm going to start patting his pockets just the off chance he has a stink bomb in there. I want to break it on him.
All right, on that note, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos.
Fuck get it.
Dolphins.
Motherfucking time is passing by.
You start yelling hate speech before you drop trow and defecate on the stage?